grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Pray. Lord God, on this day you revealed your Son to the nations by the leading of a star. Lead us now by faith to know your presence in our lives, and bring us at last to the full vision of your glory. Through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated as we listen to the word proclaimed.
The first reading is from the book of the prophet Isaiah, the 60th chapter. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples, but the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will appear over you. Nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look around. They all gather together, they come to you. Your sons shall come from far away, and your daughters shall be carried on their nurses' arms. Then you shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and rejoice, because the abundance of the sea shall be brought to you. The wealth of the nations shall come to you. A multitude of camels shall cover you, the young camels from Midian and Ephah. All those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and frankincense, and shall proclaim the praise of the Lord, the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray Psalm 72 responsively. Give the king your justice, O God, and your righteousness to the king's son.
And the king will rule your people righteously, and the poor with justice.
That the mountains may bring prosperity to the people, and the little hills bring righteousness.
He shall ascend into the evening among the people. He shall rescue the poor and crush the oppressor.
He shall live as long as the sun and moon endure, from one generation to another.
He shall come down like rain upon the mowing field, like showers that water the earth.
In his time shall the righteous flourish. There shall be abundance of peace till the moon shall be no more.
The king gives Tarshish and the Isle.
All kings shall bow down before him, and all the nations do him service.
For he shall deliver the poor who cries out in distress, and the oppressed shall have no helper.
He shall have pity on the lowly and poor. He shall preserve the lives of the needy.
He shall redeem their lives from oppression and violence, and tears shall their blood be in his sight. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
The second reading is from Paul's letter to the Ephesians, the 3rd chapter. This is the reason that I, Paul, am a prisoner for Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles. For surely you have already heard of the commission of God's grace that was given me for you, and how the mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I wrote above in a few words, a reading of which will enable you to perceive my understanding of the mystery of Christ. In former generations, this mystery was not made known to humankind, as has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. That is, the Gentiles have become fellow heirs, members of the same body and sharers in the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Of this gospel I have become a servant according to the gift of God's grace that was given me by the working of his power. Although I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to me to bring to the Gentiles the news of the boundless riches of Christ, and to make everyone see what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God, who created all things, so that through the church the wisdom of God in its rich variety might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was in accordance with the eternal purpose that he carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord, whom we have access to God in boldness and confidence through faith in him, the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the second chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and the scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw that the child was Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. The Gospel of the Lord.
The prophet Isaiah had seen a great darkness. He calls it a thick darkness that covered all of the people and the whole earth. Some of you might be experiencing that kind of darkness hovering over you. I know that there are a number of people who are trying to struggle out, to climb out of underneath of a cloud of darkness after a depressing holiday season. For some people, the holidays are the most depressing time of the year. And that thick cloud of darkness just and depression just hovers and covers. For others, there's just that ongoing sadness of trying to face life without the presence of that special loved one. Medical concerns hover like a dark cloud over other people these days, and those folks cherish your prayers. Elizabeth and Keith and some others in our parish family and friends are facing surgery. Pastor Don is going to be starting chemo tomorrow, and others are beginning other new treatments. Mark is recovering from a fall, and others are recovering from accidents or injuries or surgeries. There are people trying to regain health after sicknesses, after this plague that's been going around. So many folks are still trying to get over that throat thing and the cold and everything. Ongoing illness and disease just hangs around like a thick cloud over so many people in our parish family and among our friends and loved ones. Legal and financial clouds of darkness hang over other members in our congregation. I know that some people have a lot more credit card debt today than they did a month ago. Job worries and employment issues are like dark clouds hovering over. For some people, there is that darkness of addiction or living in a messy relationship, struggles with people, or that ongoing habit of making bad choices, unhealthy choices, hovers like a dark cloud, a thick cloud that just covers us. And maybe the darkness isn't over you, but maybe the darkness is over someone that you love and are close to. And that shadow falls upon you as well and makes your heart heavy. Like Isaiah, we have been visited by darkness, visions of darkness that cover the earth, that covers all the people. Some darknesses we experience firsthand, like those that I was just talking about. Other kinds of darknesses we only hear about. Suicide bombers and gang shootings and war and extreme poverty, things that we read about in the paper or that our friends and family are experiencing at a distance from us. But the prophet Isaiah also envisions a great light. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. This is the promise that there is a light, that there will be a light for our darkness, a star for our bleary eyes. That cloud of darkness that hovers over us now, God promises the star, the light, will shine. We read about these wise men in a far-off place who searched the night sky looking for signs of new life, signs of light somewhere breaking through the cloud of darkness that covered the earth. And today we celebrate Epiphany, and we who gather in the church know something about this light. Like the wise men before us, we come bringing gifts, ourselves, our time, and our possessions. We bring these gifts and lay them at the foot of the altar. We lay these gifts in front of the source of light, where our light emanates from. And like the wise men, we return home by another way, or in another way. We return home changed, altered, nourished, and fed by the food that we have received here by our encounter with the light of Christ in this place. The Epiphany reading from the letter to the Ephesians announces that we are fellow heirs, members of the same body, sharers in the promise of Jesus Christ through the gospel. Now, this is one of the mysteries of Epiphany. We are made through Christ to be both those who bring the gift, ourselves, our time, and our possessions. We bring those gifts to offer to Him. But through the gifts of God, we are also those who receive the gift of God's grace. So we are givers and receivers of the boundless riches of Christ. The riches of Christ, the light of Christ, are indeed boundless. And yet we spend so much time trying to limit and to define how God's grace is going to come to us and how God's light is going to shine on us. We tell God what we want of those graces. We tell God how to save us, what we want in happiness, in wealth, and security. The light of Christ comes to shine in our darkness, and that is the light of thanksgiving, the light of the Eucharist. We are to be stewards of thanks, stewards and tenders of the Eucharist, stewards of the light that shines in the darkness, of which the darkness cannot overcome. No matter how thick that cloud of darkness is hovering over you or over those you love, the light of Christ is brighter and stronger than that. There is no darkness that can overcome that light. And through baptism, each one of us receives that light of Christ, and we are given the light of Christ, the gifts of God. We receive that light, those gifts of God, God's Holy Spirit. Epiphany seeks to remind us that it's a life of faith that we live in accepting and in sharing that light, acknowledging the light of Christ that shines in us and sharing that light of Christ with others, giving thanks for the gifts that we have received, that God has so freely bestowed on us, a life of using, continually using those gifts to do the work of Christ, to do the work of Christ, which is the work of bringing light into the world, of dispelling that darkness, of casting out the darkness, of shining the light into those dark places and allowing the name of Jesus to be heard. This is the work of reconciliation. This is our work as baptized people. We should all sing, "This Little Light of Mine," because we are the light to shine out and to share with others. Like those wise men who came before us, we are people who search the heavens for signs of hope and healing, for signs of peace and reconciliation among all the people of the earth. We look through our darkness for signs of light. We look for shooting stars to come and brighten our darkness of those dark clouds that hover over too many people. And like Isaiah, we imagine that one day we will be those stars. We will be a radiant light. We will be that shining light of brightness. And like St. Paul, we are people who come to know Christ through the gospel. Even when we're feeling small and unworthy in the great scheme of God's grace and God's glory, that stewardship of God's grace that has been given to us. God's grace has been given to us to share, to shine out. God's light has been put into you in order to shine out into the darkness for others. We are stewards of the light. And that's the gift, the ultimate gift, God's light, the light of Christ, Jesus Christ himself in us. We will come like the wise men and like St. Paul before us to know that gifts only have life and meaning when they are taken and blessed, broken and shared with others. Our gifts, our grace, our light is not meant for us to hold on to ourselves, but it's meant to be shared with others. And this is the truth of the Eucharist, the truth of a life of thanksgiving, a truth of faithfulness to that Eucharist and that life. The light can only shine out when it is taken and blessed, broken and shared, when it is given for others. And Isaiah says, "Lift up your eyes and look around. Don't let the darkness keep your eyes downcast. Don't let the darkness cover you, but look up. Lift up your eyes and look around so that the whole world can see that light. And the hearts of all people, Isaiah says, will thrill and rejoice. There is light for our darkness. No matter how dark it feels right now, no matter how much darkness is covering us or those we love, Christ's light is a promise, and God is always faithful to those promises. The boundless riches of God have been given to us so that we might give them to others, that all people everywhere might be reconciled with one another, and with that the glory of God might shine out and cast out the darkness, cast out those dark clouds from anywhere and everywhere that they are. May the light of Christ, may this epiphany light shine brightly in your hearts and cast out the darkness that surrounds us. Amen.